Blog Talk Radio.
Heard somebody say pray,
pray,
pray one
for another,
for another.
Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for our pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. We are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. I pray for the increase of our congregation. I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. And I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations receive deliverance. I pray for those that are lost in darkness receive the light of your salvation. We thank you for supplying our every need. All these blessings we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to let you know that the Bible says in Deuteronomy 16 and 17 in the New Living Translation, all must give as they are able, according to the blessings given to them by the Lord your God. We would like to extend the opportunity to all of our listeners to sow seeds and send their support for this prayer ministry, Pray One for Another. You can send your love gift offerings to House of Manessa Christian Ministries, Inc., in care of Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468. Amen. And at this time, I'd like to play a selection to give our viewers a chance to come online, to call in for prayer requests for a family member or for themselves or even for their friend or an enemy. And our call-in number is 626-213-5681. Amen. I hope you enjoy this selection. Praise God.
So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Unto you. Thank you.
Talks again, he lives again, he's raised from the dead, he spoke to me, he called to me, go to Galilee and see, he's raised from the dead. He brings forgiveness of sins to redeem us, a call to repentance is his glory. Tell the story, all authority is his, he's raised from the dead, came to fill us with his Holy Spirit, a resurrected Savior, ascended to heaven, and he brings his righteousness and his grace to redeem us, a call to repentance is his glory. Tell the story, all authority is his, he's raised from the dead, came to fill us with his Holy Spirit, a resurrected Savior. ascended to heaven. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. He's raised from the dead. I have seen the Lord. I have seen.
Our inspirational message today is entitled, Sharing Your Faith. In 1 Peter 3:15, where it says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Our personal testimonies are extremely important, but sometimes, because of shyness or insecurities, we're afraid to share our experiences. And that's unfortunate. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul shares a message to believers of every generation when he writes, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Verse 1 and 7. Paul's meaning is clear. When sharing our beliefs, we as Christians must be courageous, forthright, and unashamed. We live in a world that desperately needs the healing message of Christ Jesus. Every believer, each in his or her own way, bears responsibility for sharing the good news of our Savior. Billy Graham observed, our faith grows by expression. If we want to keep our faith, we must share it. If you are a follower of Christ, the time to express your belief in him is now. You know how he has touched your heart. Help him do the same for others. There is nothing anybody else can do that can stop God from using us. We can turn everything into a testimony. Amen. There are many timid souls whom we joyously mourning and evenings as we pass them by. But if only the kind words were spoken, they might become fully persuaded. Your light is the truth of the gospel message itself, as well as your witnesses as to who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Don't hide it. Choose Jesus Christ. Deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow him. For the world must be shown. The world must see in us a discernible, visible, startling difference. There is no thrill quite as wonderful as seeing someone else come to trust Christ because I have been faithful in sharing the story of my own faith. Whether you realize it or not, you have a profound responsibility to tell as many people as you can about the eternal life that Christ offers to those who believe in him. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Hebrews 4:15-16 says, "But we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." 2 Peter 2:9, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation." Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil." Let us pray. Dear Lord, the life that I live and the words that I speak bear testimony to my faith. Make me a faithful servant of your Son, and let my testimony be worthy of you. Let my words be sure and true, Lord, and let my actions point others to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I pray that this message was an inspiring unto you. Amen. And I'd like to let you know that we are here every day from Monday through Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. The Apostle speaks with our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins, who brings a message from God every Saturday morning. And on Sundays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Partners in Worship Service, where one of our ministers, doctors, evangelists, prophets, apostles, brings a message of God. Amen? So tune in. Every day we're here, Monday through Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. So if you have a prayer request, or you want to pray for a friend or for a family member or even for your enemy, whatever God puts on your heart, we pray here in the fivefold ministries of apostles, prophets, doctors, evangelists, and may God bless you, and I pray that you enjoy this message, this selection. Amen. Amen. Do tell the wonderful news of Jesus coming back again for a church without a wrinkle or a spot. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. That's the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Amen. That's the 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, where it says, "Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, 'Give meat for the roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw.' And if the man said to him, 'They should really burn the fat first,' then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, 'No, but you must give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force.' Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhor the offering of the Lord." And now turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, where it says, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of every one who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever.'" I have just read to you 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, and 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. And may the Lord add a blessing unto the reading of his mighty words. In Jesus' name, amen. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? This question comes by way of television into countless homes. Imagine the different thoughts and the range of emotions experienced by parents whose teens are out for the evening. Where are the children? Who are they with? What are they doing? Is it necessary that we be reminded of our responsibilities for our children? we have reached the point of crisis. My text is taken from 1 Samuel 3 and 13, where it says, "He restrained them not." And my title, "When Love Chastens." Amen. How have we come to this failure in discipline? When the family fails to exercise authority, discipline begins at home, the same as love. Eli was a good man who served God and people, but he neglected the discipline of his own children. The Bible says that he knew that his sons were doing evil, and he restrained them not. The failure of one father in Israel to restrain his children is a forewarning to all generations. Judgment and doom came to Eli, the priest, to his family, and to the nation of Israel. 1 Samuel 3, 12 through 13, and 4 and 22. God is concerned with the discipline of children. The primary responsibility for discipline must begin at home. It must include the willingness of parents to restrain their children when necessary. When the home has lost its authority over children, problems to consider. Conditions outside the home. The pressure of the peer group is often too much for youth to resist. Acceptance by the group means conformity to its values and loyalty to its demands. The fascination of sin. Youth are constantly bombarded by temptations and vices that society allows and law enforcement cannot reach. Lack of common standards in other homes. Some families are more permissive, others are just indifferent regarding limits and allowances. But even those who try to be consistent and responsible often face the rebellion of their own household. Conditions within the home. Long business hours, both parents working outside the home, single parenthood, and social activities regarded as essential to success makes parents less available, less aware of children's activity. Hence, there is little guidance when it is most needed. The character of young people is undermined by fewer responsibilities. Too much is given and too little required. And this situation causes young people to feel the world owes them all that they take. The importance of the father role has changed so that the father feels and acts with little authority at home. Inadequate fathers and domineering mothers confuse and anger children. What is the answer for families today? Return to biblical methods and principles of discipline. Time-tested wisdom from the past, as shown in the Proverbs, "Spare the rod and spoil the child," is unsophisticated wisdom. To be sure, this may be the only effective restraint when a child is not yet able to reason or be aware of danger. Discipline also includes guidance and training. He who does not teach his child a trade teaches him to steal. This is a saying of the rabbis. Training for life is a part of discipline. Discipline was never intended to mean punishment alone. The word comes from the same root meaning as this disciple, which means learner. The Christian view of human nature. Christians' understanding of human nature is based on God's revelation, Isaiah 53 and 6, which implies the need for discipline. People are sinners. From infancy, we are self-centered and unhappy with restraint. Disobedience toward parents will become disobedience towards God. Sinners will assert their will in opposition to that of their creator and lawgiver. Until sinners are reconciled to God, they live in a state of rebellion and guilt. Christian guidance for the family. A primary responsibility of the home is to teach obedience through the discipline of the disobedient. The rights of others have equal claim. We have laws to ensure these equalities. The antisocial ways and lawlessness rampant among many of today's youth are a rejection of authority. An outright attitude of disobedience to all forms of order and restraint. The modern aversion to the word disobedience betrays the sin of pride and self-sufficiency. Christ, it is said, learn obedience through the things he suffered, Hebrews 5 and 8. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2 and 8. The motive of Christian discipline is love. The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Hebrews 12, 6 through 8. There is no love that does not include discipline, Proverbs 13 and 24. Those who say they love their children too much to punish them do not love enough to be responsible for the welfare and happiness of their children. It is the relationship that is most vital to effective discipline. Children know when they are loved. They know that the need for discipline and the certainty of it do not mean the end of parents' love. In later years, they recognize that discipline was one expression of love. Love never fails. Discipline is love when love chastens. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Amen. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge our caller online. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you today?
Well, I'm blessed. How are you today?
I'm blessed. Thank you. God bless you. A thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, object, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open the door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer: shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endureth forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Pastor Mother Wiggins, you have a prayer of thanksgiving. Amen.
I just want to give thanks to Father God for this wonderful and beautiful day that we have.
Amen.
I thank him for my life, health, and strength and the activity of my limbs. I thank him for waking me up today in my right mind. And I thank him for everything. I thank him for my life, health, and strength. I thank him for choosing me from the foundations of this world. But he foreknew me, he called me, ordained me, justified me, and he glorified me. I thank him for teaching me obedience, because I noticed that you talked about obedience in your message.
Amen.
And I just thank God for teaching me how to be obedient.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes I fall short of his glory, but I thank God for teaching me obedience.
Praise God.
I thank God for teaching me how to listen to his voice. That I thank God for that. I thank God for the leading of the Holy Spirit, for leading me and guiding me in the pathway that I should go. And I thank him for my family, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. I thank him. I thank him for you, Evangelist Hilda.
God bless you.
And I thank him for all the ministers that I've gotten to know on this station.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, how that he's brought us together to touch lives. We've touched lives with each other.
Yes.
In the spiritual things, in the name of Jesus. And he's teaching us how to become unified and become in unity with one another in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank him for this ministry that he's raising up, because I know whatever God raises up will not fail. I thank him for this ministry. I thank him for the vision that he has given Pastor Wiggins in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank him for everything,
Amen.
Whether it's good or bad, because a lot of times things that look bad turns out to be something good in the end, in
Amen.
The mighty name of Jesus.
Praise
so I thank him for the good, and I thank him for the bad. I thank him for everything. I thank him that I've gotten to be this age, and I'm still in my right mind.
Amen.
I just thank
Amen.
Him in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Thank him every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Most
Praise
people
you,
tend
God.
To use prayer of suffocation. A prayer of suffocation asks God for something. A person may ask for forgiveness, for luck at a job interview, for a family member to get over an illness, or a lost pet to return. People may pray to inhabit a true longing for God. God instructs people to pray in supplication. Luke 11:9-13 and 1 Kings 8:37-40 encourages supplication prayer. The case for Christ Study Bible reveals Luke 11:9-10 that reads, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." Apostle Mother Wiggins, you have a prayer of supplication?
Well, I really want to pray for those people that were in the that were in the tornado. The people who suffered in that and lost their houses and everything in the tornado. I just want to pray for them in the name of Jesus, and I want to pray for those people that they lost their loved ones, their children.
Yes, yes.
And I just ask God to give them a touch in the name of Jesus. Just touch them right now. Father God, just touch them right now in the name of Jesus, in their time of need, dear Heavenly Father, and in their time of suffering and everything, dear Heavenly Father. I just ask you to touch them right now, that, you know, when they came out of it, they saw that all their house and everything was gone, dear Heavenly Father. Father, just touch them and bring them closer to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Praise your holy name, Father. Father, we just glorify you and we magnify you and we worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, dear Heavenly Father. And we know that no matter what we see, you are still in charge of every situation and every circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why things are being done, and you know why you allow things to be done, dear Heavenly Father. Sometimes people say, well, why did God allow that to happen in the name of Jesus? God knows the reasons why he does things. He has reasons for things.
Mm-hmm.
But I just ask you, Father, to give them a touch in the name of Jesus. Heal them in their wounded soul. Build them up where they are torn down. And I just want to pray for those people that went to help them in the name of Jesus, the Red Cross and the president, how the president stepped forward very quickly to help them in their time of need, dear Heavenly Father. A lot of times when we are going through things, it brings people closer together. It brings families closer together, and it makes families realize how fortunate they are to have their loved one alive. Maybe they took their loved one for granted or something like that. But, Father God, I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for what you have done, dear Heavenly Father. Because a lot of times, like I said before, sometimes things look bad, but sometimes there's a brighter side that we cannot see. You know, it's aiming towards something more better.
Yes.
I thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. An intercessory prayer is a prayer offered to God on behalf of another individual. In the New Testament portion of the Bible, the author James speaks of intercessory prayer as follows. "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." James 5:16, conducting an intercessory prayer meeting is a matter of bringing a group of people together with the common focus of praying for others. As Mother Wiggins just said, amen. Father God, I just want to thank you for your power, and we pray that all the prayers we lift up today by your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray and believe it is already done. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You, Reverend Debo. How are you today?
God bless you guys. I'm wonderful.
Amen.
Praise God.
Do you have a prayer of thanksgiving, supplication, or intercession?
I have a prayer request.
Amen.
I have a prayer request, and I'm asking Sister Barbara. Is Sister Barbara on the line?
No, she's not.
Is Mother Wiggins on the line? I'm asking
yes,
anybody on the line.
Yes, she is.
Mother Wiggins is?
Yes.
Oh, it's going to go straight to the heavens. Okay. I have.
Praise God.
That's a woman of wisdom, honey. I'm getting under that.
Hallelujah.
I'm asking Mother Wiggins if she would pray for me. I have been asked to speak and pray at a women's bruncheon on this Saturday. I'm praying for the will of the Lord to be done and that God would surely give me something to encourage and lift those women up. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father God, I just want to pray now on behalf of Reverend Debo, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, that she's speaking this week, this Saturday, I believe she said. She's speaking this Saturday, dear Heavenly Father. And Father God, you know everything. You know what we do, when we do it, where we're going to do it, and everything, Father God. And I know, dear Heavenly Father, that you have everything all prepared for her in the mighty name of Jesus. Because she's a woman that walks by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And I know that you're going to put the words in her mouth, dear Heavenly Father. You're going to tell her what to say, dear Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
You're going to show her what to say, dear Heavenly Father. You're going to open her eyes.
Yes.
And let her know what she should speak to these women, dear Heavenly Father, as she goes forth in your mighty name, dear Heavenly Father, for your glory and your honor, dear Heavenly Father. So I know that you have it all planned out for her in the mighty name of Jesus. Just give her a touch right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to give her insight, revelation knowledge. Open her eyes that she may see, her ears that she may hear, and her heart that she may see, may perceive what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And I know that she's very sensitive to the Spirit, the Heavenly Father. So she is not going to have any problem when she goes forth. The Bible says that we should not worry, because worrying is a sin, and not to worry about it. Just lean on Father God, because when she opens her mouth, Father God, I believe that you're going to speak those words right from her mouth to those people and give them what they need in the mighty name of Jesus. Because there's nothing too hard for you. Nothing. There's nothing too hard for you. But I'm going to pray in the Spirit on her behalf right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Ubaga Shandra Gambo Kere Bore Popara Karia. Iuraka Arubara Karia Andore Bore Popara. Aruba Shandra Gambo Kere Bore Popara Karia. Father God, I believe that you're gonna speak a strong word through her to those people in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, today we want to hear your thoughts and your viewpoints on our topic of discussion. What's the point of reading about all these ancient kings? Amen. And what is your thought or views on this subject? This is Pray One for Another, and we're taking calls on our topical discussion. What's the point of reading about all these ancient kings? Dial in your thoughts and views at 626-213-5681. Amen. Praise God. And Mother Wiggins, when you hear that, what are your thoughts and views on this topic discussion?
Well, some of the kings were obedient and following after God, and some were not. Some were not obedient and following after God. Some were obedient. That was one of the things that I saw. if they had an heir, you know what I mean? Sometimes they taught their children in the way they should go, you know what I mean, the heir. But sometimes when the heir took the throne, he didn't follow what his father did. He mightn't have followed God. You know?
Amen.
And that's what that's one of my views of the kings.
Amen. Reverend Debo, what are your thoughts and views?
Are you just opening the topic of discussion, or have you guys already discussed it?
No, we're opening.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you guys had discussed something and I missed it.
No.
My thought is in the same ballpark with Mother Wiggins, is that some of the kings were obedient, some were disobedient, but whether they were kings or whatever, I think it's a demonstration on God's leaders.
Yes.
And in regards to how the leaders behave, because you got, if they were leading God's people, so kings were. And
Amen.
So, time if they did something wrong, they caused the people to do something wrong.
That's
so
true.
I'm sensing that. The reason why we continuously hear about them is because God is still speaking to the leaders of today. We may not be of a king, but we are leaders over God's people, over the things of God. And it's telling us what behavior is acceptable and what is not.
Yes. Amen.
I think it's more so that we could see what the mind of Christ is in aspect to the leaders.
His leaders. Amen. Amen. The books of 1st and 2nd Kings, it doesn't give a verse, it just says the books of 1st and 2nd Kings. So I guess we have to turn to 1 Kings and see what it says on Kings there in the book of 1 Kings. Oh, it's 1 Kings is talking about the death of King David.
Does it not give a chapter, Evangelist Hilda?
No, it just says the books of 1st and 2nd Kings.
Well, I turned to chapter 3 where they were talking about King Solomon.
Okay.
And the fact that King Solomon was kind of young to be overseeing God's people, and King Solomon had concerns about what he was called to do. And so when God came to him and asked him, ask me for what you want, ask me anything you want to ask me, and King Solomon chose to ask for wisdom as to how to lead God's people.
Amen.
I like that.
Me too. Wisdom. He didn't ask for fortune or kingdoms or any of that. He asked for wisdom.
He asked for wisdom.
Amen.
To lead God's people. You know, he said, you have made me a servant, you have made me a king, as was my father David, but I need to know how to handle your people. This is your people, so I need you to tell me how to lead your people.
Amen.
So he asked for wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom, he was blessed. That's beyond his own imagination, you know. But I got that out of chapter 3 in 1 Kings.
Uh-huh. Amen. But also in chapter 3, they're also talking about Pharaoh, the king of Egypt.
in chapter 3?
Yes. It's the verse 1 where it says, now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's 2 kings right there, King Solomon and King Pharaoh. And, but you know, since they don't really give us a verse to read, so I'm just going to read the commentary on what they say.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
First and Second Kings trace the history of Israel during the 400 years from the death of King David to the destruction of Jerusalem. Each king is judged on whether he was obedient to God or did evil in his sight. That's what Mother Wiggins said, that, you know, either they were obedient to God or they wasn't obedient. And it also continues to say, many lessons follows from these stories. We learn what motivates people to reject God. We observe sin's consequences. The primary message is that Israel's tragic descent from David's golden reign to exile and captivity was the result of unfaithfulness. If only those people had known, if only they could have seen, and what about us? So the question is, what about us? So if those people only would only have known and only seen, so what about us? Reverend Debo, can you answer that question?
Okay, the people only seen what?
The primary message is that Israel's tragic descent from David's golden reign to exile and captivity was the result of unfaithfulness. So I guess they're saying the people of Israel were, you know, disobedient and unfaithful. So it says, that's what in the next verse says, if only those people had known, if only they could have seen. And what about us? So the question is, what about us?
What about us?
Well, this topic of question really doesn't give you much to go on. So I will give you another one, since this one really don't give you much to discuss about. Okay, so let's see what first this one says. In the same breath that David urged Solomon to walk in the ways of the Lord, he plotted the assassination of his opponents. Assigning the deeds to Solomon, was that right? Reverend Debo?
Okay, I'm sorry. He signed the deed over, is what you said?
It says, in the same breath that David urged Solomon to walk in the ways of the Lord, he plotted the assassination of his opponent, assigning the deed to Solomon. Was that right?
So you're saying that in one breath, King David was telling Solomon to walk upright before the Lord, and in the second breath, he wanted King Solomon to revenge those that were.
I guess that's what it's saying. The question is, it just says, the topical question is, in the same breath that David urged Solomon to walk in the ways of the Lord. Okay, so like you said, in the same breath he urged him, walk with the Lord. And then he turned around and plotted the assassination of his opponent. And then he assigned the deeds to Solomon. And then he said, was that right?
I don't believe so. Because the word of God tells us that the Lord says vengeance is his. And my thing is, if he's telling Solomon to seek to do the ways of the Lord, do the things that are pleasing unto the Lord, why wouldn't he tell Solomon to seek God's guidance on whether or not he should those that were after him or his enemies? You know, why wouldn't he tell Solomon to seek God's will first?
Right. Well, that's the question, you know.
I think
Mother
was wonderful. He said, walk upright before the Lord. You know?
Right. Okay. That was all good. But then,
but I need you to go after my enemies. Is that what he said, the second part?
Well, he plotted the assassination of his opponent. Right? So then he says in one breath, walk upright in the Lord. Then in the second breath, he was plotting to assassinate his opponent. And then in the third breath, he assigning the deeds to Solomon. So the question is, was that right?
If God didn't tell him to do that, no, that wasn't right at all.
Amen. Mother Wiggins, can you shed some light on that?
Well, it sounds like he was doing something in a very underhanded way. You know, he was deceiving. What he was doing was very deceiving.
Right.
You know what I mean? On one hand, he's saying about God and following God and all that, but on the other end, he's doing something very deceiving in a deceiving way. Like Reverend Devo said, unless God told him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's doing it on his own, that's deception.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was deceiving.
Yeah.
He was just underhanded. That sounds underhanded to me, like something very underhanded.
Yeah, that's something that people would do today.
Yeah.
They would tell you, okay, praise the Lord, all you people,
mm-hmm.
now. And then in the next breath, they're like doing an underhanded deed.
On the side.
Right. But they're not going to tell you what they're doing wrong. But they
because
want
it's not
you
right.
Right. Because they want you to walk upright.
No, and not only that, they want to give you the impression that they're with God so much.
Right.
You know what I mean? You see, I'm in the Lord and everything, and while you're saying I'm in the Lord, but you're doing something on the side that's
mm-hmm.
underhand. That's what it
right.
sounds like to me.
And then
you
in
know?
The third breath, you're going to turn around and you're going to sign the deed
mm-hmm.
over over to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to tell you in one breath, okay, serve the Lord. Then
mm-hmm.
in the second breath, I'm going to do something underhanded. And then
right.
in the third breath, I'm going to turn around and sign all the deeds over to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
God
so
bless you. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
God
right.
bless you, Apostle Jackson. How are you today?
Good afternoon. How are everybody today?
God bless you. We're fine. Well, I could speak for me. I'm fine.
God bless you.
Amen. Our topical question is, in the same breath that David urged Solomon to walk in the ways of the Lord, he plotted the assassination of his opponent, assigning the deeds to Solomon. Was that right? And what are your thoughts and views on that?
Wow. Sound like the young folks in the church today.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
No, it's not right.
It's not, but that's what they do.
That's what people do.
That's exactly what they do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's not the word. You know, it's not the word. Something people say is business, you know, but
mm-hmm.
I feel that, you know, God said in business to be wise, you know, not to be deceitful, but be wise. But you have a lot of people that are underhanded today. You know,
absolutely.
Telling people that you gotta live holy, and yet you live in anything that you want to live. You know,
amen.
Quoting scriptures all over everywhere, but your life doesn't line up with the Word of God. So it's nothing different. You know, it's nothing different. It's the same thing.
Amen. Okay, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. And Apostle Mother Wiggins, can you read verse 3 and give us your views and thoughts on it?
First Kings chapter 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself.
Amen.
So you want to know what my views are on that?
Yes.
Well, I guess it boils down to obedience. You know, be obedient to whatever God commands you to do. You know, so that you will prosper your way. You know, you have to be obedient to whatever Father asks you to do. You're obedient to that. But here in the Old Testament, it's the you know, the commandments, the judgments, the testimonies
mm-hmm.
that are written. You be obedient to Father God, to whatever's written. You're
Amen.
Obedient to that.
Amen. Praise God. Pastor Jackson, what are your views and thoughts on that verse?
I really didn't hear.
Okay. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3.
Verse 3. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, basically, okay, this is David was charging Solomon.
Yes.
This is what you said before. Okay, basically he's just telling him to go on the earth, be strong, and prove yourself to be a man. He would say, what kind of man? Just prove yourself to be a man. And he basically begins to charge him with the Lord. He's the charge of the Lord, your God. Okay, that's what he's telling me, be a godly man of God. And just told them to keep the commandments of God and basically, you know, do it the Bible way.
Amen. Reverend Debo, what are your thoughts on that verse?
It's verse 3?
Yes.
It sounds like, well, just verse 3, it says, I think King David was telling him, again, like I said, to walk upright before the Lord, to keep his commandments. So my thoughts in verse 3 is that part of what he was saying to Solomon was a good thing, to be obedient to the word, the voice of God, to the things of God.
Amen.
So that's all that verse 3 is saying. He's charging Solomon to walk upright before the Lord to keep his commandments.
Amen. Praise God. Apostle Jackson, can you read verse 5 and expand on it for us, please, and give us your views and thoughts?
Okay. Moreover, you know also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jethiah, whom he killed. And he shed the blood of war and peacetime, and put the blood of war on the belt that was around his waist and on his feet that were on his feet. Well, basically, I don't really know the story. You really need to know the story to really see what he's basically talking about here. But he was just basically telling him about what was done to him, and for him to be mindful, you know, and be mindful about how blood was shed in war. And I'm sure David really remembered too about the blood he shed at wartime as well. And basically, he said, put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist and on the sandals that were on his feet. I guess that should symbolize something. I don't really know. That verse said, therefore, do according to your wisdom and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. So I guess he's basically telling him to get vengeance for his father.
Amen. So that ties in with the plot of assassination of his opponents. That's what King David was telling, urging Solomon to walk in the Lord's way. And then on the other breath, he was plotting against the assassination of his opponents. So I guess that's what verse 5 is pretty much covering. Amen.
Yeah, and I get back to this too. I guess it would really be wrong, per se, because he was basically holding up David's name in honor. You know, it's like the kings, they had a right to kill. They had a right to kill. You know, so it's to say, well, I'm going to hold up our name.
Amen. Okay. Praise God. Reverend Debo, can you read verse 9 and give us your thoughts and views?
Number 9 says, now therefore do not hold him guilty, for you are a wise man and know what you ought to do to him. But bring his grave, tear the grave with blood. Well, my thing is, in verse 6 and verse 9, David is acknowledging Solomon's wisdom, right? He's acknowledging Solomon's wisdom, but then on the other hand, he's telling him what to do. Right? If you're acknowledging my wisdom, then you should be telling me, do what's in your heart or in your heart to do, you know. But it starts out saying, seek seek the Lord and you know, walk upright before the Lord, then he said, I need to get back to this guy and everything he did for me. But I don't think that him going to take the man to the grave or kill him or whatever occasion because of what the man did to them and their people. I still believe with him telling David, with David telling King Solomon to walk up right before the Lord, his next thing would have been, this is everything that Joab did to us. And I'm asking you, because of your wisdom, to seek the face of the Lord, that he may guide you in what to do at this point.
Amen.
That's what I should have said.
Uh-huh. And, Apostle Jackson, what are your thoughts and views on verse 9? Amen. God bless you, Sister Barbara. How are you today?
Okay, she's just listening.
Thank you.
Me.
How are you? I'm fine. Thank you.
Great. I just got home, so I'm just listening in today.
All right. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to read the commentary on the discussion in the same breath that David urged Solomon to walk in the ways of the Lord. He plotted the assassination of his opponent. Assigning the deeds to Solomon was that right. Okay, and the commentary says, God raised up kings so that they, among other functions, would carry out his mercy and judgment among the people that they rule. David did no wrong when he instructed Solomon to punish old enemies who had wronged him. Okay. Solomon needed to do away with God's enemy to secure the throne. But note that while urging Solomon to clean out his enemy, David also instructed Solomon to show kindness to the people who had helped him long ago. The image of the king carrying out retribution and at the same time showing kindness is a reflection of God himself. Who visits judgment on those who have done wrong and mercy upon those who have lived righteously? And that's the commentary. Amen.
Amen.
And now, at this time, I will turn this part of our program over to our very own Pastor Prophet R.D. Wiggins, amen, who will bring discipleship.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Until Pastor come online, Apostle Jackson, do you have a prayer of thanksgiving or intercession or amen?
Praise God.
Amen.
How you doing, Ma?
That's fine. How you doing?
Praise
God.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray and just thank God. First, I'd like to thank God for, Lord, I just want to thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Lord, you know, I just was speaking to a friend and come to find out he was in an accident and messed up a knee. So I'm just thanking God for her healing. I was praying for that person.
Amen.
Just thank God for Apostle Jackson, Evangelist Hilda. I thank God for Reverend Debo and Sister Barbara and the Prophetess Washington. I just thank God for all those who've been a great support to this ministry. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for answering the prayers of the righteous. And I thank you, Lord, for answering the healing and favor and prosperity to all those. Lord, I thank you for the growth of this ministry. Lord, I thank you for all that you are doing. Irabo shiki abachanatanre abasiki anaro oshundorebo kutori abasinakatatando. Orebo shiki abachanatanre aba orobo si abachanatanda. In the name of Yeshua, I'd just like to pray for Dr. Verling Turner. Riabo shiki anarabo sinakarabo osukuturi aba. Siki abachanatanre arabo okuri abosi kinatanre abasi ikwanare bokuri abasi kiana kanatanre obochun okuri obo utu iki abachanatanre abasi ki abachanatanre oshanore boku iki arabasi kinare bolobo oshanak arabasi kinare bo oshanore boku tuna iki. I'd like to give Evangelist Sylvia a hand clap praise. So, great work that she is doing. Lord, I just want to ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that as we go into our studies, that you open up our hearts and our minds, that we might receive your revelation knowledge, Lord, that we might grow more and more in every way in the image of Christ, Lord, so that when we see you face to face, that you might say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, I think we were, where did we leave off?
The local church.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. Did we do that, Taya? The local church, or is that where we were supposed to start?
No, we finished out the life in the church, and now we're doing the local church.
Amen.
We didn't get to the other one yet.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So I'm just gonna get right into this lesson.
Amen.
All right. It says that you are on this earth to continue the mission that Jesus left for you and make disciples of all nations. But you can't do that on your own, nor are you expected to. God tells us to work together with Christians he has placed in our lives. We did this already.
Yeah, okay, we did. Let's go to the next level.
All right. Okay. So
I am owned by love. Did we do that one?
All right. Okay. Let me see. I'm not sure if we. All right. We know that we're supposed to love one another.
This commandment I give you.
All right. We know that we're supposed to love one another. The two greatest commandments are to love God and to love people. And we find that in Mark 12:28-31. Mm-hmm. Love is basic to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It should be what motivates us to reach out to the world around us. The only reason that we can love anyone else is because God loved us first. All right, so we know that we're supposed to love one another. The two greatest commandments are to love God and to love people. Love is basic to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And it should be what motivates us to reach out to the world around us. So, I'd like to ask Reverend Debo, when it says love is basic to what it means to be a follower of Jesus, What comes to your mind?
It says love is basic.
To what it means to be a follower of Jesus.
It means to me that because that's everything that Jesus really preached about was love, the love of God, the love of mankind, and the love for one another. And so if you're going to be a follower of Christ, yeah, you're going to show that example of love.
To be a follower of Jesus. And it should be what motivates us to reach out to the world around us. So when it says it should be what motivates us to reach out to the world around us, Dr. B. Debo, Reverend Debo, what do you think?
Because if you're looking at the example that was set for us, Christ died because of God's love for man. God allowed his son to die because he loved us so much. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So because of that love, now we're supposed to bear witness to the Father, to the Son, because of our love for God as well. It all stems back to having that same kind of love for God. You know, so if no matter what we do, just as Paul said, whatever we do without love, it means nothing. We go out there witnessing to people to draw them to Christ. We need to do it in love. You see what I'm saying? All around your neighborhood, your work, whatever. Whatever we do, if we're going to resemble Christ and lead folks back to Christ, everything we do should be motivated because of our love for him.
All right. The only reason that we can love anyone else is because God loved us first. We are transformed by the love because God's love has been focused on reaching those who don't know God. All right, I'm sorry. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. All right, so it says that the only reason that we can love anyone else is because God loved us first. And we are transformed by love because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So I'm going to ask... So when it says the only reason that we can love anyone else is because God loved us first, we find that in 1 John 4:19. Mother, can you take that one?
Hold on.
All right, 1 John 4:19.
Hold on a minute.
And Apostle Justin, can you take Romans 5:5?
Okay.
All right. And Evangelist Hilda, can you take John 13:34-35? Just take John 13:34-35.
Okay, John 13.
All right. So, Mother, you ready?
John 4:19, it says, "We love him because he first loved us."
All right. When you hear that, can you like expound on that?
Well, God sent his only begotten son. You know, that was showing us how much he loved us.
Mm-hmm.
And he is love. God is love. And he showed us that he loved us by sending Jesus. He sent Jesus as the final sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that we will be able to enter into his presence and have a personal, intimate relationship with him.
So when it says the only reason that we can love anyone else is because God loved us first. I mean, what do you think? Can you just talk about that in your own words? The only reason that
we're talking about
can
me?
Love, yeah, yes. The only reason that we can love anyone else is because God loved us first.
Well, God showed us, he was an example. God was an example, and we know that we didn't deserve his love. He loved us unconditionally. You know what I mean? No matter what we do or anything like that, he still loves us. And as long as we accept his son, Jesus, you know what I'm saying? God forgives us. Forgives us even though we don't deserve, you know, a lot of times we don't deserve his forgiveness. He forgives us constantly. He forgives us. And he shows us that he loves us by sending his son.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus.
I want to add to that. The thing is to also understand that we were chosen before the foundations of the world. And Christ was there in the beginning. All things are made through Christ. I'm going to get that scripture. 1 John. Oh, that's John 1:1.
Yeah.
Right? Where it says, and I want to show you what I mean when I read that scripture. It says that in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? So we think about that. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he called us before the foundations of the world. All things that exist were made through him. So how do we tie that in? The only reason we can love anyone else because God loved us first. So in the beginning, the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All right? God is love. And when we're made in the image of God, we're made in the image of love. Okay, so we, like my mother said, he's setting that example, but even also we exemplify the same thing. Example, that he says, and he was, or he existed in the beginning with God, and he was God, and all things were made through him. Right?
Amen.
God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So, you know, it's like God is love. So, because he first loved us, because he called us before the foundations of the world, like my mother says, through Christ, we are made righteous. So that's why we can love. So essentially we're saying the same thing, but I'm just adding a little to it. We are, Apostle Jackson, can you do your scripture?
Romans 5:5.
Yeah, can you...
Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
All right. So share some of your thoughts with that scripture? It says we were transformed by love. Mm-hmm. So when you hear that scripture, you know, can you share some thoughts with us on that? Expound on that.
Well, basically, it's saying that, you know, even when we hope, our hope should not be a disappointment, because the love of God has been poured in us through the Holy Spirit. And because we have the Holy Spirit, we have God right on the inside of us that helps us and teaches us to love.
Amen. Okay. All right, let me just get back to this. So But what is the purpose for this love? So what is the purpose for this love, Apostle Jackson?
What is the purpose for love?
Yeah, for this love.
For this, the godly love that Christ has and the love that he wants us to have. Because we need love. Love is an action word. And the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if God loved us, then we should be able to love each other. Love is important because if we have no love, then we don't have compassion one for the other. Then we live in a world full of hatred and full of darkness. But because the love of Christ is on the inside of us, then we're able to even love our enemies. And that's why we need love, so we can love our enemies as well as those that are in Christ and those that are need to be saved. Because it takes the love of soul in order to even evangelize and to tell them that the good news.
Okay, let me just backtrack for a minute. When it says we are transformed by love because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we are transformed by love because. So what does it mean when it says we are transformed by love because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us? Same thing is said in Romans 5, but I needed to add that attachment to it.
Well, same thing. When we became new creatures in Christ, we take on the attributes of Christ. And so Jesus is love. And so it's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Daily. And the truth of the matter is daily. Take off the old man and we put on the new man. And then putting on the new man, the love is built upon.
Okay.
And one thing I know that so because if I can love my enemies, I tell you, that's good for me.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
People can do some stuff to you.
Amen.
Allow your flesh, man, to take control, but the love of Christ will be what comes out. You know, and so we need love.
Absolutely. So that's the purpose. But and the answer was, but what is the purpose of this love? Love should characterize the way we interact with one another. So that's exactly what the writer is saying. That the purpose of this love is so that it should characterize the way we interact with one another, not just Christians, but with people in general. Amen?
Amen.
And then it says, but why?
But doesn't it say, and also the scripture says, love covers a whole multitude of sins. Not if they have anything to do with what you're talking about, but same thing.
And it says, but why? Because this is how the world will recognize us. So in other words, the way we interact with one another is what the world will recognize us for, having that character of Christ or taking on that character of God, of love, being molded in the image of God, of Christ. So when you hear that, Apostle Jackson, because this is how the world will recognize us, I'd like for you to, you know, break that down for us.
Well, basically, yes, it is how the world recognizes us. And I can just use my job for an example. A lot of times, like on my job, you know, I come in the morning, I say, good morning, how you doing? Even if I ain't feeling my best, good morning, how you doing? And sometimes you make people speak that don't even want to speak to you. But
amen.
Come in, and they can see the joy of the Lord all over you. It causes people to speak. It causes people to put a smile on their face. Excuse me, because the Christ that's on the inside of us, because
amen.
Of the glory of the Lord that's upon us, it causes people to have to be different or have to speak even when they don't want to speak, to have to share even when they don't want to share. And that's the love of Christ.
That's right.
Okay.
That's how it's effective.
Amen. Evangelist Hilda, can you read?
Yes.
What?
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen.
Okay. And can you interpret that in your own words?
Well, Jesus was love. So he's telling his disciples to love their fellow man regardless of what they do to them. Because even all the things that they did to Jesus, he still loved them. So he wants us to be the same way. No matter what, how our fellow man treat us, we must still love them as he has loved us.
Okay. But I think in this scripture, it's more so the fact that he says, love one another. He was talking to the disciples.
Yes.
And he's telling them
mm-hmm.
to love one. How can you expect people to want to be a part of your ministry and you don't love the people that you serve in the ministry with?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay.
Well, they can't.
I mean, no one wants to walk into a family feud.
No.
No one wants to walk into a confrontation. I mean, they don't hardly want to get involved with when people are competing against one another.
Amen.
Okay. Let alone envy, strife, and all the other ridiculousness that happens sometime in the church.
Amen.
Christ is commanding us to love one another.
Yes.
As his disciples. So to represent him, we must love one another to represent Christ to the world.
Amen.
And a lot of times, we just get it twisted. We love everything outside of the ministry more than we love the people we serve with.
Amen.
And we have to, you know, love. So that's what makes the ministry grow. And all of us are guilty of it in some way, shape, form, or fashion. This is a big problem that we have in our churches. As a pastor, we got to love the people we shepherd. You know, we got to put stuff aside. We got to lay stuff aside. We got to hash it out. We got to dig it out and get rid of it.
Amen.
And let it go. All right. So every one of us can preach John 13, 34 through 35. All of us can preach that.
Amen.
Okay. All of us can find a theme in that. One scripture to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's the essence of the church. When Christ says, a new command I give you. What Christ said, teach them to obey my what? My what? Command. That's what he said to them. That was his great commission, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a command. All right, it says, let's say you spend 3 years following Jesus closely and studying at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
That should make a difference in your life, right? So should that make a difference in your life if you were
following Jesus closely and studying at his feet.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Other people should be able to look at your life and notice what? A change. There should be some kind of change. Something on the inside is supposed to happen. It might not change you right away, but there should be something on the inside that begins to stir you up. Something about you should signal your connection to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference should not just be in our teaching or in our pursuit of holiness. It says, hello?
Yes, we're here.
All right. But the difference should not just be in our teaching or even in our pursuit of holiness. They should notice a love like they have never seen. We got a lot of holy people and we got a lot of teachers in the church, but we don't have a lot of what? Love.
Amen.
We have a lot of love for each other. We got a lot of stuff that we hold on to, and we need to just let it go or hash it out or take it and lay it at the altar. All right?
Amen.
The power of God and the mercy and the spirituality of God to bring about forgiveness. Right? So Jesus told his disciples, they should look different because of their love.
Amen.
Something about the way we love the people around us should signal to the world that we belong to Jesus.
Amen.
Our mission will include preaching, encouraging, rebuking, serving, studying, suffering, and many other things.
Mm-hmm.
But all these activities are not manifestations of love, then we have missed the point. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
It has to be done out of love. You know, you got folks. Time we rebuke somebody and we be glad they gone at the church. That's not love.
Amen.
Now sometimes they be trying to tear up the church. You gotta rebuke them. You know, but we should still have a concern for that person and a love for humanity. That we want to see change in someone's life, even if we don't agree with them.
Amen.
We have to keep hope alive. Amen.
Amen.
We got to keep hope alive. We got to leave the door of hope open in our heart to say that, you know, even though we may not see eye to eye right now, that, you know, we're praying that that person change. Or that we can see what we cannot see. Because sometimes we can't see their point of view, and sometimes they can't see our point of view.
Amen.
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 We have to pray for what? Understanding. Okay. But if all these activities are not manifestations of love, then we have missed the point. All right, so... all right. Let's see. Who else on the line?
Everybody.
All right. Is Dr. V here?
No.
Okay. Everybody's not. So let's see. Sister Barbara, can you read 1 Corinthians 13? If it's not too long, I'm going to.
I don't have my Bible open right now. I'm just.
All right.
I'm listening.
All right. Evangelist Hilda, can you read 1 Corinthians
13. And if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to see. It's not that long.
No.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. So, the thing is here again. So, would you say that the life of your church is characterized by love? Why or why not? I would like for each one of you to use that as to answer that question. So, Hilda, you can ask them the last two questions, okay? So you got question one. All right. You got question two. It says, would you say your life was characterized by love? Why or why not? And then you can go to question three. And that's the end of the whole that whole section. Okay.
Would you see it like that? Life of, yeah. Okay. Right, okay. Would you say that the life of your church is characterized by love? Why or why not? Amen. Okay. Who want to start first?
You go first.
Amen. Praise God. Apostle Jackson, you going first?
I thought you were. Okay. I'm messing with you. What was that? I'm sorry.
Okay. The question is, would you say that the life of your church is characterized by love? Why or why not?
Yes, it is. Characterized by love, because all of those that are in my ministry have the love of Christ in their heart. And you know that they have love because of their actions and the things that they do, not only for me, but
amen. Apostle Mother Wiggins?
I say they're characterized, you all are characterized by love.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I feel that love is a kind of a process.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't, you're coming from out of darkness into God's marvelous light. There's so many things involved. You know what I'm saying? Because the person doesn't transform overnight.
Amen.
This is what God commands us. But I think it's a process of time. You know what I mean? That you learn to do these things, and that you're dealt with by God, you're reading the Word, you're sitting under the Word. There's a whole lot of things involved. There's a whole lot of things involved. Everybody is at different levels, too.
Amen.
I don't know if I could just make a straightforward answer like that. You know what I'm saying? Some people might be still walking in darkness. You know what I'm saying? They're not, you know, or like that. You know what I mean? They might still be holding things in their heart.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Only God knows that. God only is the only one that knows our heart.
Amen.
You know what I mean? You could sit up and say, well, I'm walking in love.
Mm-hmm.
God will test you out. He want to know. You know what I mean? Because you can't fool God. You can fool the people and say, well, I'm walking in love. See what I'm doing? I'm doing this, this, and this.
Right.
Because when God loves you, it's not things that it doesn't have nothing to do with. Well, grace doesn't have nothing to do with what you do. You know, he just loves you.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But with humans, we're human. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even though we're walking in the Lord and we're moved by the Spirit. Sometimes some of us are moved by the Spirit, and some of us are moved by the flesh.
Amen.
There's a whole lot involved. But I'm not saying, we're taught not to hate,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? But we're still at different levels.
Amen.
We're being worked on. God is working on us. That's why we have a personal, intimate relationship with God in private, to be worked on. God works on us. But some people refuse to have a private relationship with God. They might just go to church and they don't have no relationship with God.
Amen.
So they don't get worked on. They just hear the word, you know what I mean, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't have that intimate relationship with God at home or wherever they are, it could be in the street, could be on their job, you know what I mean? They could be sitting alone on their job or whatever. But you have to have an intimate relationship with God, you know what I mean, so that he can rub off on you, because God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're lacking in some things, God will show you what you're lacking, what's going on with you. Even in the Word, it shows you yourself. The Word is like a mirror that shows you you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know what I'm saying? To me, there's a lot of things involved. You just can't say flat out, well, we love and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And still in your heart, you still got something going on. You still got some bad mind for somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you're not living yet, you're still being worked on.
That's why God forgives us, because we're humans. We don't.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes time. It takes time.
Amen.
It's a process.
Yes.
Look how old I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how long it took me? Years and years and years. I mean, God really worked on me, boy. I'm telling you.
Amen.
He worked on me. And still working on me. You know, what can I tell you?
On all of us, that is so true. I mean,
you know,
look at me.
I'm not
going to
tell you. What is it?
I still have a long ways to go. You know, I'm still fresh in the water.
Yeah, we still have a ways to go. Jesus mm-hmm. came down, but he was God in the flesh.
Amen. And that's
he
why
was God
I
in the flesh.
I bless God for putting all of these ministers and doctors and apostles and prophets in my life, because I learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, like, and that is love and devotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel about it, because, I mean, I love everybody that's on this line.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it because you're on the line, but that's just me. I love people whether they love me or they don't love me. You know, that they are the ones who have to answer for their rebukeness and stubbornness and all of that.
Yeah.
I only have to, I answer to God. But anyway, Sister Barbara, are you still with us? Okay. Reverend Devo, God bless you. Are you still with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Would you say that the life of your church is characterized by love? Why or why not?
Yes, I would. Certainly, I've heard what Apostle Jefferson, Grandmother Wiggins, and the others that have spoken. I say that characterized by love, even though we know that all of us are human and we all still have a long way to go, God's still working on us, I still feel the love of God, the work of the people in the church. I still feel that. You know, there's going to be some, you're not going to feel the love, but for the most part, I do feel the love of God through the people and the things they do, the ushers, you know.
Amen.
You come,
amen.
And smile and that warmth, that kindness. I
absolutely
really feel of God and the things that they're doing in our church and that. So yeah, I can say it's characterized by love. I mean, you can get up there, and I don't know if anybody else can tell. I can tell when that choir gets to singing. I can tell whether or not they can get along. They've been seeking God's face, because if they minister, you feel the love of God.
Amen.
You already know, okay, they have not been in his presence, don't nobody like each other, but when they minister, you can truly feel the love of God. So, yeah, I would say that the church, the last one I was at, it was characterized by love. I felt a great deal of love, and it wasn't a small church, bless the Lord. It wasn't.
Amen.
So
amen.
I would say,
amen. Okay, and our second question, what steps can you take to be an example of love in your church? Apostle Jackson?
Well, basically, I can just continue to do as I do.
Amen.
God just made us and just so that
Pastor. Reverend Devo says she can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm in the fire board now. I said I will continue to do what I do. I will continue to show them love, continue to be a pastor that strives for perfection, you know, striving to be like Christ. You know, knowing that I err as well, you know. But one thing I try to do is to be real with everybody. I don't sugarcoat stuff. I just try to be real, amen. And being real, I think that shows love, because we sugarcoat so much. I think that's why people are falling by the wayside. And it's time
amen.
That we do it as God has given us. God, the Bible says that he chastised those that he loves. And there's times that we have to chastise the people of God, and not because we don't love them, it's because we love them while we do that. And they will realize it eventually that that is why it's done. But
Amen.
The more that I stay in the Word, the
mm-hmm.
more comes forth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Reverend Debo?
The question is, what can I do in the church?
What steps can you take to be an example of love in your church?
Well, I don't know why that sounds like it's a hard question. I would say, I'm already doing it, but I would think, you know, just being truthful with the people, being gentle and kind, warm. Certainly, we do have bad days, but we just don't want to be bothered. But I do believe that if you're being, especially as a leader, they're looking for us to be transparent. They're looking for us to be sincere and real. Even when we're going through, they don't even look for us when we're going through to hide that. Like, okay, they act like they don't go through. They act like they don't have heart. They're not looking for that because that shows that you're not trustworthy. You're telling me stuff that's not true. You know, I would think everything that I do would demonstrate. If everything that I do with the mindset that I'm to demonstrate stuff to God, I think I'll be okay. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's now 6:14. And the last question is, whether you are an official leader in your church or not, how can you lead others in being more loving? Apostle Jackson, I'm going to let you lead us out of this.
How can I lead others in being more loving?
Yes.
Well, the only way to be able to lead others and be more loving is that I have to be first partaker and have to show more love myself in order for them to follow. So I first partake and be my first be the example.
Amen. Amen. Apostle Mother Wiggins?
I'm sorry, what was that question again?
The question is whether you are an official leader in your church or not, how can you lead others in being more loving?
By being an example and, you know, showing people that you care. Like if they are ill or something like that, you know what I mean? You find out how they're doing and things like that. Pray for them. You know what I mean? Intercede. And you act kindly towards them.
Amen.
You know what I mean? If they have a problem, anything, you're interested in what problem that they have. You know what I mean? If they want to talk to you on a situation or something, you're available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you show kindness to them. And you know what I mean? If you can help them in any way, you help them as much as you can.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Last question, Reverend Debo.
Yes, ma'am.
Whether you are an official leader in your church or not, how can you lead others in being more loving?
How can I lead others and be more loving?
In being more loving.
So that they'll be more loving?
Yes.
Think of it, I'd have to set an example. The kind of love that I'm looking to see in others. I got to first, you know, the same way to show yourself friendly, others can be friendly towards you. I would think that I would have to demonstrate the kind of love that I'm looking for others to also demonstrate. So I would say be an example, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see me in church. Folks love me. You know, I got some flaws, but they really do like me. I'm not a bad girl at all.
So they like your joyfulness and your happiness and your loving kindness.
You know what? Like everybody else, it didn't happen overnight. It took a very, very long time. God had to do a lot of cleaning up. But I tell you now, when me and my husband get up in the morning, we do those morning devotions, and at night we do those morning, it changes my whole day. It changes my whole day. I just get happy, right? Because guess what? When you're in the Word of God, it's kind of hard to walk around sad and depressed and mad. No, something gets lifted off you. So
amen.
It took years, because if y'all really knew how old I was, it took me years to get to this place. And I don't want to give it up. I like it.
Amen.
This transformed me. You know, and even though every day God is still working on me and working on me, still pulling stuff off of me, but I like me better now.
Amen.
I mean, I like
praise God.
Too, you know, but, you know, back then I wasn't so safe. I was doing stuff. But I did like me back then. But now I like me better. You know what I mean?
Amen. Amen. You're more mature.
I'm a zero. But I would say, for example, you know, whether I'm a leader or not, just being an example. And even when I wasn't a leader and I wasn't just sitting on the door as an usher, I tell you, they the warmest welcome. I tell you, because I don't want nobody to leave saying I didn't feel the love.
Amen, amen. All right, so it is now 6:19, and we are coming to the close of our lesson. And next week, our title will be A Compelling Community.
I just want to say two things, two quick things.
Amen.
That's a juicy question. very juicy. You know, well, at House of Vanessa Christian Ministry, we believe in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. We worship
Amen.
God in spirit and in truth. The thing is, Christ said to love God first,
right?
And to love God through the what? Through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Through the Spirit, we love God.
Right.
We love God through the Holy Spirit. So in the supernatural realm, praying, you know, doing letting the fruit of the Spirit and allowing the gifts of the Spirit to operate in our lives. So,
amen.
Spirit and truth. Now, he said, love God first. So we walk in the Spirit, right?
Yes.
Then, secondly, to love your neighbor as yourself. Compassion. In one word, I can summarize. Compassion. We
amen.
Have to learn to have compassion. Put ourselves in that person's situation. Understanding. We need to learn compassion. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That means to have compassion. Understanding the truth of the situation. Understanding the circumstances of the situation. And when we come to the understanding of the truth, then we have what? Compassion. And that's all I want. That's all I want.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. God bless you, Pastor. Okay, we had a wonderful lesson today. And again, I want to let you know that the Bible says in Deuteronomy 16 and 17 in the New Living Translation, all must give as they are able, according to the blessings given to them by the Lord your God. If you would like to sow seed into this Pray One for Another ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to House of Manessa Christian Ministry in care of Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468. Amen. And if you want to accept Christ as your personal Savior and you want to be saved, please repeat the prayer of faith after the selection, Heaven's Doors. Pray One for Another is sponsored by House of Manessa Christian Ministry. And if you don't have a church home and would like to make House of Manessa Christian Ministries your church home, just send us your name, address, telephone number, and email address.
and state in writing that you would like to make House of Manessa Christian Ministries your church home, and you will be placed on our membership roster. And once again, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. So don't forget to tune in tomorrow at from 4 to 6 p.m. where our very own Reverend Debo will bring us a message from God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And I don't want to get cut off, so I'm going to say good night. I love you all. And see you tomorrow. And God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. And don't forget, repeat the prayer of faith after at the end of the selection of Heaven's Door. On behalf of my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, I am your host, Evangelist Hilda. God bless you, and good night.
God bless you.
Love you guys.
Good night.
Oh. all my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray.